Paul says in Ephesians 3:14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." This is a strengthening of the weak. And this is a gift of God. He said that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. This is a strengthening of the weak. And this is a gift from God. A gift that He has an ability to give with all liberality because He gives from the riches of His own glory. So Paul is bowing his knees to God the Father, acknowledging in the Father is this invaluable amount of riches in glory, which He has the full and effectual ability to grant to man, the strengthening of their inner man according to the riches of His glory. Thus he prays. Paul is not foiled and confounded and melting away with unbelief as he looks upon the weakness of saints in the new covenant in the first century. Rather, he's looking up to God the Father, seeing an invaluable expanse of riches, which He's ready to give liberally to strengthen the weak in the inner man. He's not looking upon the dismal scene merely, but he's looking up to the giver of the riches of His glory, to the undeserving by unmerited favor, to strengthen the weak in the inner man. What is it for? Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. A rooting and grounding is where the arms of a tree or a plant, so to speak, the absorbing arms are being planted into the regions of the soil which give it health, which give it sustenance, which give it endurance in all seasons. In the blistering heat of the day, it is still nourished by moisture because its roots are drinking deeply from its proper grounding. Being rooted and grounded in love, that is a sustaining love, an enduring love. And this is made possible by the inhabiting person of Christ. There's nothing of man here. There's nothing of man's work, man's ability, man's merit, man's strength, man's anything at all. It's God's riches of glory. It's God's giving. It's God's strengthening. It's God's indwelling. And it's God's rooting and grounding. And it is so that we and they may be, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. So this drinking in of the underground watery regions of what is here called love, which sustains the plant, which sustains the Christian, and endures its life through every harsh season. It is a deep drinking of nourishing waters, which is, experientially speaking, for human beings who have a conscious relationship with God, an eye-opening experience, a mind-opening experience, where the comprehension of the individual is exceedingly enlarged to comprehend what the writer here calls an incomprehensible love, and to know an unknowable love. As a man, for the first time in his life, perhaps comes to the edge of the Grand Canyon and looks over the deep chasm, and his eyes go across the long expanse, and he's wondering in his mind with just wonder and amazement and astonishment how deep and wide and long and immeasurable this chasm seems to be. And so the God in His mercy leads the comprehension of man from the Savior Jesus Christ on a cross in His death, burial, and resurrection and the first glory of what it is to be saved. He leads the individual into this eye-opening experience of an incomprehensible love and of an unknowable love. He communicates this divine knowledge within the heart of a man. And so that it is rightly, fittingly called an unknowable knowledge, an incomprehensible comprehension. And it is as a man stumbling, looking upon the chasm, the immeasurable chasm, this immeasurable volume, this innumerable multitude, this invaluable, rich bounty. It's a depth and height and breadth and width which cannot be measured and known and understood. And it is the love of God which passeth knowledge. This is where all the faculties of human expertise is melting away with no answer of exactitude. This is where all preachers and their elocution fails with no answer of eloquence which is comparable to this unutterable an expanding love of God which passes knowledge and passes speech and passes elocution and passes intelligence. It's a deep humiliating of the inner soul of a man before the power and infinite wonder of God's love. And the result is the fullness of God beheld in the soul of a man. The fullness of God enjoyed by the individual and the fullness of God expressed to others who are watching on. This almighty and glorious arm of salvation and all of its inexpressible magnitude is what seized this wretched man, the Apostle Paul, the greatest, chiefest of sinner in the entire world. The chiefest sinner. And so when Paul bows his knees before God the Father, he being the foremost trophy of this boundless grace, his heart is not failing before the riches of God's glory to ask and to ask and to ask yet again for every elect saint and every sanctified soul of all of the redeemed and all the churches of God and here for the Ephesians without fail, without growing weary, continually bowing his knees before God the Father for this one request. an invasion of God's loving kindness to lead them into this encounter of God's love. Invading the life of a Christian. It is then that Paul closes the prayer and says, "Now unto Him." He spent the whole prayer describing his prayer. It had nothing to do with man. That is their will, their merit, their strength, their ability, their acceptableness before God. He closed the prayer and the whole prayer was in worshipful adoration of God's power and effectualness and willingness and the riches of His glory that He's willing to bless and lavish upon His redeemed people. And so he comes to the conclusion of his prayer and he says, "Now unto Him." Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we, includes Himself, of all that He is asking here. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He looks up and sees this God of love and redemption and riches of glory. He looks down upon saints, sees weakness and poverty and helplessness and neediness. And he's praying before this rich and liberal King of Kings and all of his saving abilities. And he's asking, he's bowing his knees before the Father that the weak would be strengthened, the impoverished mind and the impoverished conscience of a lack of the knowledge of God's love would be enriched and blessed. The inner soul that's feeble, the faith that is fainting, that it would be strengthened with the indwelling presence of Christ. And this change, this outpouring of God's love, this leading forth to the chasm of an inexpressible encounter with God's love would happen to the individual saints. And he ends with a worshipful adoration after expressing the inexpressible, after glorifying the boundlessness of his love to strengthen and save his people presently and progressively after they first met Christ on the cross. He goes down further, bowing down on his knees further, and he says, after uttering all of this, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly above we can ask or think, according to the power which worketh within us mightily." Unto Him be glory in the church. There's his legal boldness before God. He bows his knees before the Father, calling down this outpouring of the former rain down upon the beloved saints of God, because he knows, unto God be glory in the church. And thus when he opens wide his mouth with these holy supplications, he knows the gateway of all riches will be opened up and lavished upon those who are needy. Because unto Him be glory in real time, in the church of God, in the people of God. Because we've been bought by the blood. And then he reckons the ages of time. This is a real time boldness he has before real saints in historical past, in real Ephesians who've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And he says, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. That is from the first century to the end. World without end.